بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وقال تعالى يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة وقال تعالى ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening over the receiver at home, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are once again given the tawfiq and the ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sit again in His masjid to listen to some discourse of deen, so that we can connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may be guided, so that we may know what Allah ta'ala expects from us, so we can remind ourselves, we can cleanse and purify our hearts, we can make tawbah and istighfar, and we can follow the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we may gain and attain success in this dunya, in the qabr and the akhirat. Now before we commence and continue our discussion on maut and the qabr and akhirat, we had been discussing this for the past few weeks. I'm sure every person is curious to know what is the condition of Arif Billah Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. As you know, we were given the opportunity to go and visit Hazrat Wala. Now this is no medical report or anything that I can give. Just from our humble observation, physically, our Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum is weak in the sense that he is unable to eat or partake of any foods, and he has to be fed through a tube via the stomach. And of course, that's not an easy task. He has been in bed for several months. There are doctors standing there all the time. There are 4 specialists who take turns for the entire 24-hour period. There are cardiologists and specialists who are there at his khidmat. There's every type of medication available for him. There are khadims who are there to serve him, to be at his khidmat at any given time. So whilst Hazrat is not well, and he's plus minus 90 years of age, but there is no shadow of doubt, and this I'm not saying out of exaggeration and because he's my sheikh, but there were many others who had joined us and who were there. They all bear testimony to the fact that his face is brimming with noor, and there isn't a complaint of any pain or anything. Whenever he is asked how he is feeling, he says, Alhamdulillah. Most part of Hazrat's day and night, he is silent. He opens his eyes. Sometimes he is sitting up. He opens his eyes. He is aware of those people sitting around him. There isn't a single bedsore, and that is the kamal, that for so long there's no bed sores that he has got. He's not complaining all the time. He is content with whatever condition Allah has kept him in. But one can see that he is in a different world. Now, this is something we can't explain. Only those who are there sitting day and night, they would realize. And this has happened to many friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Hazrat's own Shaykh, Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, from many ulama, he used to experience this with him, that whilst they would be sitting with him in a gathering like this, and Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah, he would be silent for a long period. Not a single word he would utter. Once our Hazrat Hakim Sahib was sitting there in his gathering, and next to him was Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, All of us are familiar with in this country. He is buried in Johannesburg. Many of our ulama were bayat to him and studied under him in Deoband. Our Hazrat Murana Rahmatullah Ali had got khilafat from him as well. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali puts his face forward next to Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, and he says, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, aapko maloom hai ki Hazrat kaha hai is waqt? Do you know where is Hazrat now? So he said, no, what do you mean? He's sitting in front of us. He's just physically, he's here. There's no doubt about that. Lekin Hazrat dusre alam mein hai. In other words, the connection they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of such a nature that they become mustaghraq. Istighraq means they are consumed in such thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they actually forget their surroundings and the people around them. If you recall the incident we had mentioned many time ago of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha is next to him, husband and wife. Every day they are meeting one another, they are talking, they are chatting. It was a time just before Fajr. And suddenly Rasulullah questions her, Man anti, who are you? As though she's a stranger sitting there, who are you? So she says jokingly, Aisha. She thought Rasulullah was just joking with her. So she said, Aisha. So he says, which Aisha? So she said, Aisha. Aisha to bintu Abi Bakrin, daughter of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the bosom friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Man Abu Bakr? Who's Abu Bakr? So she says, Ibn Abi Quhafa, son of Abu Quhafa. Then he says, who's Abu Quhafa? Man Abu Quhafa? Then she remains silent. Then she realizes she's something else. Later on in the day, she asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he explained that, of course, I'm not giving the exact words, that his ruh was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, can you imagine the tahajjud of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Completely engrossed. Every word, every harf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be so consumed in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no ghaflat in their salat. It was full of khushu, full of khudu, that sajda, subhana rabbi al-a'la, really calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with love, with ishq and muhabbat. Person is totally engrossed. And therefore, it would take some time to come back to earth. So many friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala keeps them so engrossed, they have been incidents of friends of Allah. The problem is that we are living in a different world. The world we are living in is whole day, it's only ghaflat. It's only making money. It's only hankering after dunya. It's only filth. It's only chasing after woman. It is only sins, vice, evil. Therefore, we cannot understand these things. And we find these things very far-fetched. We find this very, very far-fetched. We find it so difficult to understand and comprehend that the man is not well, yet there are thousands of people waiting to get a glimpse of him. There's no hero worshipping or anything of that sort. It's the love that Allah puts in the heart, in the hearts of people, for those who are obedient to him. That people from all over the world, we were there from South Africa, people were there from Reunion, people were from Bangladesh, people were there from Madina Munawwara, people were coming from Burma, people were coming from all over the world. Beside the locals, we were fortunate that because we are mehman and guests, we are allowed to go into the room and get some time there. But the others who are waiting, and because they did not want to disturb Hazrat, and because of his health, and the room is not very spacious, so people just have to wait outside, and there's another window when the curtain is just opened, that from outside they get a glimpse of his face, just to get some type of solace. They've seen the sheikh and they go away. But how can we explain that people become fida, people become crazy, and they are prepared to serve that wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they would rush and they would run for the remains of the water of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the ishq and muhabbat. Of course, everything has its limits. You do not go extremes, you don't go over the bound, you don't go beyond the bounds. But ishq and muhabbat. Therefore in the dua, Rasulullah said, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. We actually ask Allah, O Allah, we ask you for your love. Then, and the love of those who love you. So we are asking Allah, Allah, you must love us, and your lovers must love us. Your friends must love us. And we ask you the love of those actions that will take us close to you. We love you, O my Allah, we ask you that we must love you. And we must love those who love you, and we must love the action that will take us towards you. Nonetheless, these are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us that type of heart. In one of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, Ma'arif Billah, in his Fezan Muhabbat, and I was just to keep on mentioning this, the meaning of those couplets are that there is a comparison between one who is a disbeliever, one who is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one who is the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a difference in their lives. There's a difference. Both have got physical bodies. But the disbeliever, or the one who is not the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I say, bas unko abo gil diya. They've got water, they've got sand. In other words, they've got just a structure, a human body. But the friends of Allah have got not just abo gil, they have got dardi dil. They have got, dard means pain, dil means heart. The ache, the pain is of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They really go crazy in the love of Allah. When they just hear the name Allah, already the hay is standing on end. Adhan they will hear, cool rubbish runs down their spine. When they read Quran, they are engrossed. When they make dhikr, they are tearing. All the time they are doing those things to please the Allah. They are so conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not just their master, the creator, nourisher, but who is their beloved. So a friend of Allah has this pain of the love of Allah in his heart. And therefore he will sing and he will hymn the praises of Allah. And he will desire that many others also follow the same path. Mawlana Asadullah Rahmatullah used to say, Tanha nahi chal sakunga is muhabbat ke raah mein. I cannot walk all alone in this path of love towards my Allah. Main chal raha hu, tum bhi saath chalo. I'm going on this path. Oh my friends, you also join me. These were the friends of Allah. They were not selfish. They found some hidayat and guidance, they'll just go all alone. No. Rasulullah s.a.w. cried for this ummah. That every person will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Every person can become the friend of Allah. Every person can gain entry into paradise. Just like that, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were not selfish. They just sit one corner and just make the dhikr of Allah and forget the rest of the world. No. In the different ways and attempts, they will try, they will persuade, they will encourage, they will advise us so that we can also follow the same path that leads to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the friends of Allah, they've got dard dil. Then Hazrat says, Unku sahil mein bhi tughyani mili, referring to those who are the enemies of Allah, even though they are on the shore. When a person is at the shore, he's safe. He's not going to drown and sink. But he says that in unku sahil mein bhi, even though they are the shore, unku tughyani mili. It is as though they are drowning. Tughyan means heavy floods. So even they,
in the so-called sahil, in the so-called coast, in the so-called pleasures and happiness, outward entertainment, enjoyment, outward riches of the world they have got. They've got plentiful. It seems that they have got so much of comfort. They've got beautiful homes and cars and they're living a life full of happiness and bliss and opulence. But in reality, there's tughyani, there's becheni, there's restlessness. They are pareshan. We do not know what goes behind the scenes. They project an image that they are very happy. But when they go to sleep, they cannot sleep. And they go to take pills. They go to take tablets. They always pareshan. They do not know what's going to happen to them the next day. They are gripped with fear. But contrary to them, the Ahli Dil, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they may be in the midst of a storm, meaning outwardly they may not have the riches of this world. Outwardly they may be living on a straw mat, sleeping on a straw mat. They may be living in a small home. But they have got happiness. They have got the shore. They have got the help of Allah. They have got the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything just works out for them. Amazing. How many people ask? That what is this man earning? He's hardly earning anything. How come he seems to be so content? And how is it possible for him to do A, B, C, D, E? Now this is the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot understand this. We will understand it, yes, if we develop in our hearts tawakkul, and if we have taqwa, we refrain from sins, and we just change our direction slightly. I think the last zikr majlis I had mentioned, that our Hazrat had mentioned, if a person just moves slightly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give him sukoon. Allah will give him happiness. Like how I give the example, a person going towards Madina Munawwara, even from a distance, he's already sensing some fragrance of Madina. And as he comes closer and closer and closer, how nice he feels and how happy he becomes. And his heart begins to beat faster and faster out of ecstasy and happiness and joy. So just one degree towards the correct way, towards the path of righteousness, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah gives the person sukoon. In this masjid, aren't we feeling some sukoon at this moment? Or are we restless? Are we walking up and down? Are we holding our tummies? Are we holding our heart chests? Are we crying? Are we screaming? No. Out of the masjid, it's a different scenario. We go home, different. We go to the shop, to the factory, to the business. It's again problems upon problems upon problems. And therefore, if we're in the right mahol, the right environment, the air condition is on, no person can be feeling hot now. Every person is feeling cool. In fact, sometimes it becomes too cold. Just like that, if we're in the right environment, we will feel the coolness. If you're sitting by the friend of Allah, and even though he is not speaking to us, we will feel some coolness. Our hearts will feel something. Our Hazrat should keep on saying, Rahmatullah Alayh, that something is being transferred. Now the transfer we couldn't understand. Or we still can't understand. Allah forgive us. From the heart to heart. But it depends how sincere we are. When we are going to receive the receptors, those that are going to, the recipients, when they are going to receive, if our hearts are full, or they are covered, there's a lid on the tumbler. Nothing is going to be able to pour inside. Remove that lid. If the glass, the tumbler is empty, immediately it will get filled. And therefore we have to sit with ikhlas. The speaker has to have ikhlas. The listeners have to have ikhlas. Otherwise time will go past. It's not that we have got a register and we have marked ourselves. Otherwise, Marana will say, where were you and I wasn't here? No. We must do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our coming here, our speaking, our sitting here must be for the pleasure of Allah. Who knows that this simple, humble gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this as an excuse for our forgiveness in the akhirat, for our najat in the akhirat. Perhaps one person or one mother and sister sitting at home, she is listening with ikhlas. She is thirsty for knowledge. She wants to know what her Allah wants from her. And she wants to bring that into her life. One brother wants to bring it into his life. And Allah Ta'ala says, oh, my angels announce, everybody is forgiven. This is the reality. It comes in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you sit by the aircon, or you sit in the room which is has got the aircon on, every person becomes, we feel that coolness. Like that, when you sit by the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, make us the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah keep us in the company of the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then we will feel that sukoon, you feel chain, that pressure and all that anxiety and depression, everything will disappear even for those few moments. May Allah Ta'ala give our Hazrat Wala Damat Barakatum Aliya Sihati Kamila Adila Mustaqira Daima. He had made such an effort when he used to come to our country, and truly we can't repay him for the khidmat that he did for us. Ulama, look at throughout Natal, Transvaal, even the Cape, Port Elizabeth, wherever Hazrat went, and other mashayikh, of course, many mashayikh, every person who came, all our kabirin, we respect each one, we have love for each one. But Hazrat Wala taught us, or opened our eyes to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, talking about myself and even all my friends and other colleagues and other ulama who we meet, for some reason, we did not know the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it was? To love your Allah. One is to make ibadat because we have to make, and Allah is your master. But now make that ibadat with this feeling that Allah is loving us. And now you are worshipping your beloved. When you're making tawaf of Baytullah, you're going around the house of your beloved. And to abstain from all sins, especially badnazri. Casting lustful glances. Casting lustful glances. Our Hazrat, every bayan of his, he used to mention the same thing. Now why the same thing? Because this is the real cancer of this zamana. No person is safe. Whether you're a mufti, whether you're a Hazrat, whether you're a sheikh, whether you're a qari, whether you're an imam, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a lawyer, you are in contact with strange women. And nafs and shaitan are such that they don't want to see you being successful. So if you're a namazi, how will they take you away? No, they're not going to win that way. They are not going to be able to make you fail in your salat because you're pabandut salat. So they bring these pretty faces all the time. That a hostess, the plane, she will talk to you with the most sweetest ways. That is her job. You shouldn't get carried away and thinking she must be with so much of muhabbat for me that she is talking to me in such a way. Go outside the plane or outside the airport and meet her on the road. Who are you? She doesn't know you. But just now you were there in the, you served me in the plane. Sorry, that was my duty. We become deceived so quickly. That smile on her face is just an act. She's paid for that. This is the ploys of nafs, shaitan, and the enemies of deen. That kurta topi that person is wearing, it must be removed. It must snatch away that iman of the person. Make him so ghafil that he lives a life full of zina. Nothing. And you don't even have to speak looking at the face, and this is not disrespectful. You have to speak politely, no problem. Nobody is saying you must scream and be rude, no. You look down, in fact they will have more respect for you. And if there is anything you require or you don't want, politely say no, thank you, no problem. But for every little excuse to press a button, to call the air hostess and to make some conversation, this is nafs ka chor. And that is why Hazrat should keep on saying, in fact, one time, somebody, they were going, and there was some problem, and the crew was at fault. So this person began to shout at the air hostess, and he's angry and he's taking out his eyes. Arif Billah Zaki Makhtar Sahib was there. He said, "Bhai, iswak bhi nafs, be careful of nafs, that you may be showing that you're angry, but nafs is too smart. In that anger also you'll take some maza of a pretty face." So what will happen afterwards at night? You are sleeping with your wife and shaitan brings back the reel of the past. The whole day, now he start rewinding. Now you're sleeping with your own halal wife, but he's making you think of that woman. Now you won't enjoy your own halal wife. Now you'll force her to dress in the manner of that air hostess who you saw. And this poor innocent wife doesn't even know what has happened. Suddenly she sees, why my husband is making me wear like this and forcing me to do like this. But just to out of respect and to obey her husband, she'll do all those things for him. But still the husband is not getting satisfied. Why? Because all the time he's casting those lustful glances. So he's spoiling his iman. Allah save us, nobody is free. وَمَا أُبَرِّيُ نَفْسِي. Allah protect us all the time. That badnazri is a whole topic on its own. We're talking about qabr and akhirat. Therefore we have to save ourselves from all these things lest we get punished in the qabr for these gunas. إِنَّ النَّظْرَ سَحْمٌ مِّنْ سِيْهَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُومٌ. Rewaite of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the hadith of Qudsi, he says, Allah ta'ala says that casting lustful glances at non-mahram woman is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. Shaitan is attacking you. When you are casting a lustful glance, in reality it is the poisonous arrow of shaitan. And therefore, whoever turns away his glance, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا. Allah says, because you are not looking at that woman, and you've got every opportunity to get some type of enjoyment, but you're not looking at her for my sake. For whose sake we're not going to look? Maybe you're scared the wife might hit you or something, but in reality you're not looking. Why? Because Allah says it is haram. Allah is becoming naraz with you. So for Allah's sake, when a person does not look, Allah says, أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتُهُ. I will give him such an iman, the sweetness of which he will enjoy. In other words, I will bless him with the sweetness of iman. That iman that he had, suddenly Allah will say it will become so sweet that he'll enjoy the sweetness of that iman. Now how are we going to enjoy the sweetness of iman if we don't experience this? And therefore, let us try it out. That you're given the chance of looking at the woman, but for the sake of Allah, don't look. For the sake of Allah, don't look. And then you will feel some coolness running down your heart. That is the sweetness of iman. And ulama says, they have written that once a person enjoys the sweetness of iman, Allah Ta'ala will not take that iman away from the person. Meaning, Allah will then bless him with maut on iman. So if you want maut on iman, then stay away from casting lustful glances at non-mahram. Even our women folk, they too should not cast lustful glances at men. Although, this bimari is more with men. You know, I did receive many times emails from women who have the same problem. Normally, a woman has more haya in her. And unlike like men keep on looking here, looking there, looking there, looking there whole day. One person was traveling in the train, one person was sitting, and opposite him was a young man and his wife. So this person is keep on looking at the young woman in front of him, staring and glaring at her. Finally, when the train stopped, the young person said, "Are Baba, you can look at her whole day. Raat ko mere saath soyegi." So you're getting nothing. How often it will happen? And person will pick up a magazine and a beautiful cover, beautiful inverted commas. And he'll look and enjoy himself. And it is so filthy that how many men take those magazines in the toilet, and how many men take their cell phones in the toilet, and this is no lie, Allah protect us. And they will spend hours there viewing pornographic material in a place which is full of khaba'ith. Before you enter the toilet, what do I make? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Oh Allah, seek your protection from filth, from the male and female jinnat. Shaitan plays with the person in those places. Therefore, actually the toilet, Gujarati they say, jajru. It is ja'iz darur, place of necessity. You don't sit there for hours. What is your need? I'm going to answer the call of nature. I've got an urgent need. You go in and out quickly. You don't sit there for hours, unless you're constipated. Now every day you can't be constipated. If that's the case, then please see a doctor. But don't fool your wife and sit so long in the toilet and you're making excuses. She's not a fool because she looked for your cell phone. It wasn't around. It's in your pocket. So filthy. You're watching all that haram. Allah protect us. Allah save us. I don't know which we were talking and what was they saying. But this is shaitan. This is how he tries to take away the iman of a person. And if we do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all we require is himmat. Just himmat. And we try and do it inshallah. We just try and do it according to our mashayikh who experience it. They would take qasam on Allah and they would say, then see the feeling a person gets. In Ramadan, whilst fasting, how do we feel? After the first couple of rozas and we into the groove of fasting, every person doing, whilst you are fasting during the day, you feel like a farishta. You feel like a wali of Allah. You feel so pious. Why? Because you are saving yourself from haram. In the exact way, stay away from casting lustful glances. This is one of the main sins. And then see what type of iman you will enjoy, inshallah. So now we will discuss, inshallah. We have been discussing moths, the different aspects of moths and so many other incidents. And we had even spoken about the qabr and this halat of barzakh. Where this is the interval period between maut and qiyamah. And we had mentioned the riwayat where Munkar and Nakir will question a person and the believer, how he will be respected, how he will be honored, and the breeze of Jannah will come, his qabr will be widened, and as far as his eye can see, and the different bounties he'll be given there. So very similar, we will discuss again today, where once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they went to a qabristan and there was a janazah for Ansari. But when they reached there, the grave was not yet ready. Just like how we have to dig these graves, they had to dig the grave. It wasn't ready as yet. So Rasulullah sallam sat down, Sahaba sitting around him, and the Sahaba say that they sat down in a manner as if birds were sitting on their heads. In other words, absolutely attentive, close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody moved his head even. If a bird is sitting on your head and you move, slight movement will fly away. But for the bird to be perched on your head, you have to be absolutely still. So they sat in that condition with adab and respect in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick in his hand and then he began to scratch the earth with that stick. As though he was very sad, he was very worried. Then he raised his head and he said, seek refuge, seek panah, seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. In other words, he taught us to make dua, O Allah, save us from the azab of the qabr. And he said this two or three times. And then Rasulullah says that when a believer is about to leave this world and go towards the akhirat, angels whose faces are white, they are as bright as the sun. They approach him from the heavens. They come with a scented kafan from Jannat. And these angels are in such a large quantity that they are as visible as far as the eyes could see. Hazrat Israel alayhi salatu wasalam then arrives, he sits down at the head of this mayyit, and he calls out, he says, O pure and virtuous soul, proceed to the maghfirat, forgiveness and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we discuss this in detail, how his ruh is extracted with such comfort, with such ease, and so easily and smoothly it is extracted, like drops of water flowing from a water container. Such ease, so smoothly. Then the angel of death, Israel alayhi salatu wasalam, he removes it with his own hands, and then the angels take this ruh and they ascend towards the sky. And then this soul has perfume. Rasulullah has mentioned it's the best musk perfume that could be found on this earth. And as they go, they are met with many other groups of angels coming down, and they inquire, who is this? And it is said, it is the son or the daughter of so and so. They reach the first level of the heaven, the request is made, door is opened, and then they cross to different levels until they come to the seventh level. And then Allah Ta'ala then commands that this person's name must be written in the book of the virtuous and pious servants. And Allah says, now take him back to earth, and then his soul is returned to his body, and he is in the qabr now. And then the angels come, and then they ask the three questions, Man Rabbuk Ma Deenuk Man Hadha Rajul, and this person then gives the correct answers. And when he gives all the right answers, at this, a proclaimer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaims from the heaven, my servant has spoken the truth. Now, فَأَفْرِشُوا لَهُ, that now spread out for him a bed for him. Spread out a bed for him. Make him wear the garments of Jannat and open the doors of Jannat for him. So the doors of Jannat is thrown open for him, and the fragrance of Jannat comes into his qabr, and his qabr is widened so much that he is as far as his eye can see. And thereafter, a person comes, or something comes in the form of a very handsome man, the handsome face, beautiful garments, and sweet fragrance, and informs him of the good news that this is the day of which you was promised. So he asks, who are you? So he says that I am your righteous deeds. I am your a'mal as-salih. I am your righteous deeds. And after that he says, out of joy, this person says, oh my Rabb, establish the day of Qiyamah. May Qiyamah now begin so that I can come in contact with my family and my belongings. Now contrary to this is the condition of the disbelievers. The disbelievers, the angels, I explain how they extract vehemently the soul, harshly they pull the soul out of the body, and they address the soul with harsh words. No person is ready to take this soul up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when the soul is brought back, and Allah ta'ala is naraz with the soul, and then this person is unable to give the correct answers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, then this person is punished. In one riwayat it is mentioned that this person, when he is made to sit up, this unbelieving person, when he is made to sit up, and he is asked the questions, Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Man Hadha Rajul, he does not know any answer. It is said, he looks embarrassed. He's embarrassed. Which deen did you follow? He said, I did not know. All the answers, he did not know. Imagine in front of every person, if somebody asks us simple questions which we have been learning from childhood days, and we don't know the answer. How embarrassing. Everybody else knows the answer, we don't know the answer. So this person who is a disbeliever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then punishes him. In one riwayat it is mentioned, now of course, as a time Ramadan wrote Shawqi Watan, I discussed in the beginning, to give us raghbat, to give us that yearning and longing and desire to move towards akhirat and jannat. But there are ahadith we have to mention, so that we understand that the azab of taqabar is something which is a reality. See, then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. He said, yes, na'am, adab al-qabri haqqun. It is a reality. Allah save us. It is mentioned after that, after Rasulullah tells Sayyidina Aisha that adab al-qabri haqqun, there wasn't a single day or dua that Rasulullah did not ask Allah for refuge from azab of qabr then. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge and protection from azab of qabr. For that person who was a disbeliever, for that person who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he displeased Allah ta'ala, despite being given so many chances, opportunities, warnings, Quran came, hadith came, ulama came to him, he had every thing to his disposal, every means to gain closest to Allah, to believe in Allah. The signs were around him, the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the mountains, everything was there. Yet he chose to be blind. He was given the rationale. He was given the choice. And even after choosing, Allah still gave him chances, but then he was adamant, he was stubborn. He totally rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah still provided for him food. Allah still gave him air to breathe in. Allah still gave him a home. And Allah still gave him the riches of this world. He still partook and he ate and he enjoyed the bounties of Allah. Now such a person, after all this, Allah Ta'ala obviously becomes naraz. And Allah's punishment is not from a small tappar. That small tappar of Allah obviously, of course, is very painful. But then the qabr Allah Ta'ala sends down, and Allah does not even have to send so many pythons and so many snakes. People say, Mawlana, why you talk about azab of qabr? It's very frightening. Shouldn't you talk about the mercy of Allah? In this masjid, you're the witness how much we speak about the mercy of Allah. Every bayan, Allah is ghafur rahim. Love Allah. Allah loves us. Turn to Allah. Allah is forgiving. That's the truth. But if we're going to take advantage and still reject Allah Ta'ala, still disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still don't care about his deen, we still don't make up our mind to leave that filth and haram things that we are so busy with, and we don't make up our mind to take even one step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we expect then? This is the reality. Allah has created Jannat, Allah has created Jahannam. Now we are not there to ask Allah, oh Allah, why you created Jannat, and why you created Jahannam, and why you do this, and why. Those are not questions where we should dwell into. Immediately refrain from those type of thoughts. We are the servants of Allah. Allah loves us. Allah has shown us the path towards Him. All we are expected now is to just follow that path. We will stumble, we will fall, we will make mistakes, blunders and errors. We will make tawbah, istighfar. And we stand up and we continue on this journey. Allah, out of His mercy and love for us, Allah Ta'ala will guide us and Allah will make us successful. We must have that hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we must fear that we must not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the person who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he fails in these three questions, then for him, there are 99 serpents and pythons that will bite him. It is mentioned that just the hiss of this, of just one serpent, if this hiss and this poison has to come onto this world, then nothing will grow in this world. Nothing will grow. They are so poisonous that if any one of them hisses towards the earth, nothing will ever grow. This is mentioned by Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala. But as I said, we are believers of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, all the time make shukr of the iman and preserve our iman, worry and make fikr of our iman and of the iman of our wives and children, our family members and friends. Now a believer, it is mentioned when he is in the qabr, it is mentioned that Jabir radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah said, whenever a believer is placed in the qabr, when a believer is placed in the qabr, he feels as if the sun is setting. Thus, when his soul is returned, he seats himself up and he says to the angels, now leave me alone, let me make my namaz first. In other words, he's always concerned, there is this worry of performing his salat. Just like in the dunya, no matter what function is taking place, no matter what the work is, No, I would rush for Salat. It is Namaz time. I will go for my Namaz. But I'll see you later on. No matter how busy his shop is. Brother, I'm sorry. It's the call to my prayer. My Allah is calling me. I will see you after Salat, after prayer. So because all the time in the dunya, he was so mindful of his Salat, when he goes into the qabr also, same thing. I was talking about Hazrat Wala, Mazhar Sahib mentioned to us, that Hazrat all the time, even in that condition, bhai, Zuhar ki namaz, ho gai, it's time up for namaz, time up for asr, all the time conscious about Salat. This is the believer, that all the time his Salat is so important. So imagine going into the qabr, he tells the angels, leave me to make my Salat first. So Mullah Ali Qari Rahman says, that he feels as if he is still in the world. And hence, he calls the angels to leave him to perform Salat before commencing that question and answer session of Man Rabbuk Madinuk Man Hadha Rajul. So when a dead body is placed in the qabr, it is made to sit without causing fear, and the following questions, as we mentioned, are put to him, and then he gives all the answers correctly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then entertains the person who is a believer. The angels then inform this person, as it is mentioned by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that when this person is in the qabr, they give the description of these two angels, Munkar and Nakir. They are two angels, dark in complexion, but they have blue eyes, very piercing blue eyes. And these blue eyes are not something that is attractive. It causes more fear to the person. And after questioning this person, and then they tell this person that you should sleep like how a bride sleeps. Like how a bride sleeps. She is so excited, she is so happy, and now she will rest and she will sleep because she is tired. Like that now, you have worked in this dunya. Now the command is, now you must relax and you must enjoy the sleep like how a bride sleeps. Ulama have mentioned in the Alam-e-Barzakh, in this realm of the qabr, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's narration is that when the angels present the soul of a believer, person passed away, now the soul of the believer is put into the qabr, to those who have been there before, they express utmost joy. Thereafter they ask the angel about others. So when another believer is going and he meets his other believers, they all become excited. When they ask, what about that person? Any news about so and so person? And they inform that he's already left this dunya, but he hasn't reached them. From that they become sorrowful because they deduce that that person did not die in a good condition and perhaps he's sent to Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So even in this alam and barzakh, they inquire about each another. What is very important is sadaqah jariyah. There's numerous ahadith mentioned in most of the kitabs that when the person is gone into the qabr, he leaves this world, now he can't do any action. But what will assist him? In one hadith is mentioned, mal mayyit illa kal ghariq al mutaghawith aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. A mayyit is like a person who is drowning. A person who is drowning is shouting for help. And even if you give him a piece of twig, he will try and cling onto this piece of twig also just to survive and save his life. So anything that can assist that mayyit, the person that mayyit will grab it. And therefore it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, the mayyit waits for dua that is made on his behalf from his father, mother, or his child, or his wife, or family members. So especially the child who is still living, when the child makes dua and maghfirat for his parent, Allah Ta'ala makes the dua and maghfirat as a deed that is now going and being presented to this mayyit, and it assists this mayyit in the qabr. And therefore we always make dua for the marhumeen and especially our family members.
We just mentioned in one hadith and we'll continue next week, inshallah. Rasulullah SAW had mentioned that definitely what the believer receives from his virtuous acts after death, a ilm, knowledge. A person passed on knowledge to others. For example, if an alim taught some students, then they will learn and they practice. So whatever they practice on, they will get the reward for it. And even the alim, the teacher who taught them that. And then in turn, they taught that action or those ahadith and those ayats to others. So those students, they will also practice on it. And that first teacher will still get the sawab. So knowledge that you benefit people with, that will become a sadaqah jariyah for you. Then the pious children, offspring you leave behind, they will make dua for you. If you leave an impious child, where the impious child will make dua for the parent? Pious child will make dua for the mother and father. So that will also be a sadaqah jariyah. Then you build a masjid, or part of a masjid, whatever contribution you give to a masjid, or people are benefiting, they are making i'tikaf, they are performing salat, they are making dhikr, tilawat, you are going to get sadaqah jariyah. Then you have you build a musafir khana. So any one of these actions, you build a musafir khana, people come from far and wide, previously they should have it, now we don't have it anymore. Somebody coming from out of town, he spends the night there, at least he's got some hot water, he's got some place to sleep, and there's no charge for it, so you're getting the sawab for it. And then you dug a river or a canal. Now so many people will benefit from that river. They will drink that water, you will get the sawab. And any charity sadaqah that you give out from your wealth and property, in your good health, you gave some sadaqah, whatever it may be. This will be a thawab-e jariya for you. May Allah Ta'ala assist us, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from the azab of the qabr. May Allah forgive all the marhumin, especially from our family. May Allah Ta'ala enable us, inshallah, Allah give us life. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.